talk to. I'm not as skilled as I'm going to be, but you come to the place, and the Lord does it because so that you don't hook up with wrong thinking and wrong believing, you know. And there's many antichrists out there in the world, the Bible says. Even back way back there when they was writing the Bible, praise God. But you can come to the place to where you can be in the presence of somebody, Christian or none, and if they're in a right spirit, talking in a right spirit, you'll know it. If they're not in a right spirit, you'll know it. You'll be like, something up with that. You know, I mean, I do it all the time, you know. And sometimes I've even just turned and walked off and just left people, you know, just gone, you know. But how many knows we're not in fearful times? We're in glorious times. I mean, we're in glorious times. I believe Jesus is coming back soon, but I'm going to occupy. I'm going to occupy. That means do business, you know. That means take care of business, do church, praying, fasting, giving, seeking God, and all of these things, you know. And when we're hearing from the Spirit of God, and it's not hard. The body of Christ makes it hard. They don't mean to. Over the years, I mean, people have come to me and they say, pray that I would hear the voice of God. And I say, well, are you born again? Yeah. Well, you already do. No, I don't. Trying to through the thought process. He's in here. And I would tell them, you've got to believe what the Scripture says. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they won't follow another. That's not maybe one day we can get to where we can. And that having that wrong thinking, I just can't hear from God. I can't. Those thoughts come from the devil. They you know, because you're not in there believing that you hear God. And then just like with Jesus, he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. I don't believe they meant to be really in unbelief. I believe they were just giving in to their life, the way it was and all of that, and not you know, staying in confidence in God in the hard times. I don't believe they intentionally done. He said, well, we're just going to rebel on God, you know. But here today, I mean, we hear the voice of God. I mean, it's not like some big mystery. We hear him. The Bible says we do. My sheep hear my, I'm sheep, back, whatever. Are you a sheep? Are you born again? Well, if you're not born again, then you ain't going to hear God. You're hearing him right now. Tell you, you're not going to hear him until you get born again. Now, I'm the voice telling you, that's the only God you're going to hear. I know y'all quiet, but that's the way it is. That's the evangelist part of me. But until you're born again, see, the Bible says flesh, the carnal man, receives not the things of God. You know, no, because they're spiritually discerned, like Teresa brought out. The Word has to be spiritually discerned. That's why people without the Spirit of God warp up. They get warped up. Like, well, God knows my heart, you know. God knows my heart. An excuse of, I am the way I am, but God knows deep down inside I love Him. No. God knows what your heart really is. You know, praise the Lord, get it right. Don't twist the Scriptures and make excuses, for God understands, you know. My weakness, He does understand all of that, but He's given us His power and His Spirit to discern. And when these antichrist thoughts or from people come, we reject them, then we open ourselves up to truth. And the Bible says then truth makes us free. Truth inspires us. Truth energizes us. Faith is in the Word of God. And then faith is the force of God that causes us to go towards God, that you cannot boil us in oil. You cannot kill us. You can drag us out. You can beat us up. You can put us in prison. You can call us whatever you want. But we just keep bouncing back like a Timex. Because we have truth. We must love truth. Just like Teresa was talking about, you know, I mean, We're supposed to be involved in politics. King Nebuchadnezzar, all of them kings back yonder with Daniel, Shadrach, that was the government of that day. That was the rulers of the time that they were. That was the kings. That was all of that. And they were involved. They were involved with God. They were involved with what was God and what was about God. And they, you know why? Because they had the Spirit of God with them, on them. He was with them. And it caused them to be bold in their evil day. And we're in the Spirit of God. We, you know, I always said it like this, you know, because God spoke it to me like this. He said, because I'm meditating on that scripture over there, boy, I done found it in the Bible where it says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Boy, and I'm on that. I mean, I'm quoting that over myself. I'm righteous and I'm bold. I'm doing it by faith because I'm trying not to be a cowardly Christian. I'm trying not to not be a witness. I'm trying not to not tell people you need to go to church and, you know, and all that. And I didn't want to be a cowardly Christian, so, you know. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, the righteous are as bold as a lion, but they're not mean. And that's why I say it, you know. You know, but if we're in a right spirit, we won't. We'll be doing what we do out of love. And when I turn away from people, it's because I love you, because I don't feel led to tell you how jacked up you are. So I'm just going to leave you with your jacked up self and let God send somebody to help you get unjacked up. If you believe today, you don't have to go to church anymore. You're jacked up. If you don't believe you need to be dedicated to the things of God, you're jacked up. You don't believe you don't need to pray and fast and seek God and give and believe for increase. I'm going to be one of the wealthiest men on the planet before I leave here. And people get upset when I say that. Boy, Scotty, he just probably always that finance stuff. Well, go quit your job. If you want to, people say, your haters are going to hate. Oh, God, come on. Well, stop letting Facebook preach to you and teach you how to be a Christian. Haters hate. Oh, just feel sorry for me because the haters going to hate. Guy sent me a message, you know, and he's all jacked up in his living room glorifying God with his dumb junk. Sent me a friend's request, and I accepted, and I thought, well, praise God, you know, he's going here. And then he went in there, and he's spewing out all kinds of junk, you know, and he said, you haters gonna hate. And I thought, I'm not a hater. Where's you at? Delete. Put. Boom! That problem left me instantly. Come on, somebody, I'm discerning. You ain't of God. You in a wrong spirit. You're in my living room right now. Yeah, you're on my phone, but you're in my living room right now, and I'm just going to go ahead and if I ever delete you, know that it's because you're in the wrong spirit. Ask my boy. Look, God, he got the wrong spirit, putting stuff on Facebook, coming up in my living room, representing the church that I minister at, that God put me in, with all of that hogwash, and all my friends sees he's my friend and my son. And so I just look him up, where are you at? You little devil. You little devil, there you are. Poop. Pulled him up. Delete. Bam. Deleted him. What's wrong with us? Are we afraid to delete our son if he gets ungodly? Off of our Facebook? We love him. We hear every Sunday, son, come on. We all getting all that ungodly. Let all your conversation become of the gospel and that filthy garbage. It wasn't real bad. I mean, he's just in the flesh. Well, he can stay in the flesh out of his house. Now, don't put up with that in your living room. I'm talking about your mama. I'm talking about you because wrong spirits motivate you in a wrong way. The Bible says that corrupt morals, what? Bad company corrupts good morals. And I don't like to be around company. This is not my message. This is for some of you. I don't like to be around company that don't honor God. I don't like to be around company and hang around and listen to people that criticize other ministries and criticize other people and criticize their kids and criticize that we did. I just cut him off. I just cut him off. I don't get on there, Travis, good Lord, you're representing me. You came from me. Oh, you are making me look bad. Can't make me look bad if I don't get bad. But if I get in a wrong spirit, he didn't make me look bad. I did it. I took it on. I took it up. I picked it up. I didn't keep the cross. See, I'm going to walk in victory. Are you going to walk in victory? You want financial increase? I can tell you exactly how to get it. Don't go get you another job that takes you away from church. Number one, that's not God. Don't get you a job that takes you away from the one that gave you the job, the one that's been keeping you all your life, the one that's been good to you all your life, the one that's given you knowledge that he's been with you all your life. The one, don't stop the things. Don't sever that. But if you want financial increase, there's promises in God's word. And the Bible says that the Bible is a more sure word of prophecy. Now, and so God, if you want increase, begin to ask God, God, how do I increase you? How do I do it in you? How do I get the kingdom prosperity going in my finances? How do I do it? And I bet you somehow you will hear or see or read Luke 6:38. You will find Malachi 3. And all of you tithers, don't just tithe and give and not have this heart that I give and it shall be given unto me, God. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall you cause men to give into my bosses will give me raise. Other people that will want my business endure what your business or whatever it might be. Or you will find favor on your job. All of a sudden, they gonna grant you a big fat raise. Or somebody drives, the Lord told me a couple of days ago, I found out some information. I was pondering what to give, and this person needed some money, and that's Christians, you know, and everything. But anyways, I thought, everybody go to work, blah, 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 you know, and I'm thinking about it, you know, and all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. In here, the Holy Spirit, those that are led, get that down. Get the scriptures about being led and get them in your heart. Get them in your mind. I mean, renew your mind to it. Go around saying, I'm led by the Spirit. I hear you, God. I'm led by you. I'll always hear you, even in trouble. I'll hear. I mean, renew your mind to that and begin to prophesy, I hear God. Instead of, I can't hear God. Oh, God, this See, you'll learn how to cut off the pressures of this life in your mind and look on the inside, and he's speaking. He'll tell you what to do. Sometimes you'll like it, sometimes you won't, but you know what? It's all good. Well, you know, I really like mustard, and then sometimes I don't like a lot of mustard. So sometimes I go to... Hey, wouldn't nobody eat that sandwich but me? And then there's times I'm like, that was a little rich, that mustard. So I'll go in there and I'll put just a little bit of mustard, dab here, dab here, dab here. And you know, oh, yeah. See, that's the way God does. He gives you an appetite. He'll give you an appetite for him, you know. And so sometimes you don't. I mean, people, they're like, you know, you cook breakfast. Well, so-and-so don't like theirs real done. So-and-so don't want their egg running. And then before you know it, you're like, oh, my God, I wish I hadn't put this together. You got to go to all of them. How do you like your eggs? How do you? We don't want to offend nobody. We don't want nobody throwing up over raw eggs. Now I go in there and fry the stuff. Cook it done. I bake it, burn it. They ought to be glad that you did it. Right? Instead of sitting there complaining, oh, it's too done. I cooked yesterday breakfast for everybody, and it was anointed boy, and praise God, and everybody enjoyed that burnt. It wasn't burnt. I used that big old griddle trace of bleed for, and I'm like, whoo, I'm reaping off of her promise. Cooking on a big griddle, I didn't even have to buy it, man. I mean, I'm reaping off of her blessing that she believed God for. Hallelujah. But see, we got to learn to discern, like, you know, because even in, I mean, you got smooth people in politics right now. They get up there smooth. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. I'm even checking the ones that I'm going to vote for. I'm done. I don't have to wonder who I'm voting for. I'm voting for God. God. I'm voting for God. I've taught the church for over nearly 30 years. You don't vote for the voice. You don't vote for the popularity. You don't vote for what you like necessarily. You vote for what lines up with God. You vote for the one that is lining up as close as they can. I'm not talking about quoting scriptures. I'm talking about we believe in not killing babies, and especially making me pay for killing babies. We believe that that is ungodly. We believe that that's an abomination to our God. Thou shalt not kill. There's no question which way that Christians have got. You discern by truth. You can discern by truth right there. He don't tell us in our whatever things are bad. Think on the whatever things are good. Give into that. Whatever things, you know. No. See, we're making life choices every day. CNN ain't going to make me believe nothing. Channel 13 ain't going to make me believe nothing. Channel 6 ain't going to make me believe what their rhetoric, confounded cotton-picking junk is. You understand? There's no true media out there right now. Not on Channel 6, not on Channel... Fox has just a couple of three that I would put weight in what they say. CNN, CNBC, now since I've got internet TV, good Lord, I can go watch news in California in my living room. They're saying the same hogwash. Because Satan is unified in his move on this planet to bring darkness and persuasion. All his demons are in unity. I just preached unity Wednesday night, and it wasn't me wanting to do it because I don't believe we're scattered. I don't believe none of us in here are scattered. I'm talking about, I believe our heart is one with each other. I believe we love one another. I believe we're believing for people to come in and hook up with us and get on God's vision for their life and this place. I don't believe we're scattered, but God is telling us that He's unified. Our nation has been divided, especially since 2020. The church has been divided for longer than that, in a big part by your denominations. And I don't believe in tongues, and I do. And you're of the devil, blah, 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 blah. I mean, all of that is demonic. All of it is demonic to divide. But God said, God spoke to me, and God said, He said, I'm going to unify the nations. He said, I'm going to unify it. He said, I'm going to unify the church, the real church. Not the fake church. There's a fake church. Preaching one Sunday in here, and I was doing, because the person hadn't been here for week after week and sermon after sermon, come in wanting to sell me something, you know, is the only reason you're here. You're here for nothing but other than something carnal. I was sitting back, I told him, I said, well, you know, I ain't looking at it right now. I got church, you know. Come on in, sit here. It's Sunday, you ain't got nothing to do. Come on in. Come on in here. In that sermon, I was saying, Jimmy crack corn, and I don't care. And what I was talking about is I'm not going to let the cares and the pressures and the troubles of this life get me down. I was bringing forth a spiritual lesson out of a natural circumstance. So you can't sit, you cannot sink a ship unless you fill it with water. As long as I put my drain plug in my bass boat that I don't have, used to have one. Me and my brother went fishing. I was the one responsible to put the drain plug in there. And we're just so excited and hurried. We've seen a fish about half as long as this pew right here, and we're going to snag that jewel. So we're going week, day after day. We tried to catch it on everything. We can't catch it. So we had us some treble hooks, man, and we fixing to snag this bad boy. And we're going to get drug all over that lake, and we know it. It's huge. It's a huge fish. And so, I'm all excited that morning. And I get out there, boy, we made sure we had all our treble. We hooked them up. We didn't want to take time. We got out there. So we got rigged up. When we get there, we're going to get him. And boy, we launch out through there. Well, the boat's not wanting to plane. I'm like, man, what's wrong with that engine today, you know? And I look back there, and we're about that much being slapped full in the boat, and it's done nearly up behind the seat there. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I turned the boat around, and I went back, you know. But you know what? That's the only time my ship has ever nearly sank. You know why? I let it in. I let the water in. Don't let deception in. Don't let darkness start to get in your mind. I'm telling you, I'm just about ready to cut off that secular TV and get in here, and I can find out more in here. It's like the Lord told me, he said, you just feel like you need to know. You need to know that that's your flesh. That's not God. If God wants you to know something, I mean, he'll give you a dream. He'll give you a vision if he needs. If there's some instruction you need, praise God. Because the Lord asked me, he said, what is it going to change if you know all this rhetoric that they're saying? What's it going to change? I said, it's not going to change nothing other than my attitude. How many knows we need a God attitude? God ain't up there. Oh, my God, the world's in such a mess. I don't know what to do anymore. No. God's up there, and he's saying, I do nothing. He said, it's not entered into your heart, your mind, the things that I have in store for you, but I have revealed it to my prophets. Now, let me tell you something. You got to be where you can hear the Lord through whoever he's bringing instruction in this earth. These prophecies that men Teresa has by prophets back in 2014-15 that prophesied where we're at right now. See, that is one of the Ephesians. Put that Ephesians up there, Beth. No, before I get there. Give me the John 14. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself. Jesus wasn't even speaking his own words. He said, the words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does what? He does the works. The one that dwelt in Jesus, he was doing the works, the revelation, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the ministering of the Word of God, the teaching of God. And that's us today. He said, believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the word's sake, very word's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. He said, I'm going to do greater works than him because he goes to the Father. Right? He said, you are going to do greater works than he done. Look at what he done in 3.5 years. Dude, I mean, he's raising the dead. I mean, he's opening blinded eyes. He's doing miracles are happening throughout his whole service. Light had come into the world now. Light had come in, and that's what we're getting. But he said that great works that I do, but greater works that you'll do because I go to the Father. In other words, you can't be stopped in the spirit realm. We can't be stopped. We're going to preach this gospel, and I will get into the gifts. I'm a gift to this body. I'm gifted to pastor. You know what a pastor does? Change diapers. No. A pastor is somebody that's gifted and passionate, and it's not even his own will to shepherd, to nourish, you know, to guide, to instruct, to encourage, you know, to want to develop spiritually, to grow up in the Lord. You know, that's what a shepherd does. A shepherd watches over the sheep in the Old Testament. And that is the heart of a pastor, any pastor. These gifts have been given. I was just on Facebook, you know, heard this pastor come on there, and he said, there is no more prophets. He said, there's no more prophecy. And I thought, but he says there's pastors. They're in the same context. How can they be any pastors? But he's a pastor. See, that's a false prophet. That's false prophesying. The Bible says that he ascended up on high and he gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ until they come to that mature man. These gifts are to build me and you up. But that's why we got to have, thank you, we've got to have, you know, we got to be discerning who's real and who's not real. Because false prophets are going to get worse and worse. And I'm telling you right now, the world, I mean, a lot of the churches, and I'm not anti-church, you know that. I believe you ought to be here. I think you ought to come an extra service and fit somebody here and just march around the building on a Thursday evening. I think you need to have your own church service every now and then. Just go the extra one. You know, tell Satan, you tried to get me not to go Wednesday, and I'm going to go Thursday too. Get bold with him. Get bold with that flesh. Tell that flesh, shut up. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to go after God. Those are going to be the hearers. Those are going to be the ones that does the greater works. I mean, you know, just you're going to be at work and supernatural things. I mean, I worked at the same job, same sloppy job. I didn't like my job, didn't want to go to work, hated work, called in sick, lie all the time. The only reason I would go is because we get plumb broke and I have to now. Just go put in a day or three. You know, at least we can get a bag of marijuana. You know. But you know what? After I become a Christian, same job, same all of that, you know. I mean, I wanted to go to work, and I'm like, what's wrong? What happened to you? Are you dumb or what, man? You fight to go to work. I mean, you're going to be early. You're going to go that extra mile. What was it? What happens to us? It's Him that does the works. He does the works in us. He put it in me to evangelize. Buddy, at one time, evangelists in there, I mean, they preached the gospel. They wanted, I mean, everybody, they think everybody ought to be getting everybody saved, them evangelists. I did. I thought, what's wrong with y'all? Man, y'all need to be out here with me. Let's round them up. Let's get them saved. I'm out there preaching Jesus. You need to be born again. I mean, I did that for 7 years, you know. Somebody told me one time, they said, is that Bible there, is that all you can preach? I said, that's all I want to preach. Well, evangelists is going out there. Some of y'all, you may not be fivefold ministry, but greater works that you'll do because He ascends to the Father. And you know what? The more that I heard from the Lord and won with the Lord and went in and began to gain victory on the inside, the more that I wanted to preach, the more that I wanted to please God, the more that I wanted to please God as a husband, the more that the Bible says it's Him that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The Bible says delight ourselves, and we're doing it this morning. We're delighting ourselves in the Lord. A lot of us work. We're tired. We could have used the day off, the flesh and all of that. But no, we get up and we go and we serve the Lord. And you know what? He increases His grace and His anointing in our life, whether we realize it or not. And before you know it, we look back and we say, glory to God, I can see where I geared up right here. I can see where I started giving right here. I can see where I started confessing this right here. And now I can see the results. I couldn't see the results then, but now I see the results. I can look back and see. That's why we walk by faith. That's why the church, I mean, even out there, I'm not just talking about this unit right here, you know, the church. I'm talking about, I run across church people all the time from other assemblies, but they are making up the church. People that are real, people that are Christian. I run across them that ain't no more a Christian than my puppy on the back porch, but they go to church. Why would you want to waste your time going to church? Just stay home if you're not going to get saved. Enjoy your nap. Enjoy CNN. Enjoy CBS. Enjoy it. You're not going to get anything out of the kingdom. That's the way I think. I think, man, I'm either going to be in or out, man. I'm not going to waste my time. I could be at the flea market. If I'm not really going to serve God, I'd just rather soon be up there at the hilltop enjoying walking through and, you know, or whatever. Well, see, what that is a mentality after God that nothing's going to come before you and your devotion to God. I told a guy the other day, yesterday I was talking and just, you know, we wasn't clicking. You ever talk to people, you're not clicking? You're discerning. You just ain't clicking with that person. And the more you hang around and talk, the worse you feel on the inside. That's grieving your spirit. That's grieving your spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit. That's when we need to cut it off and get away from that. Come on, somebody. We're talking about hearing God and discerning. Because words coming out, even though they might be Scripture coming out, but not backed up by the Scripture, by the Holy Spirit, can get you messed up. I left that person and I'm like, God, if you confuse me, you've done good. I felt like my mind was scrambled eggs. I had to go sit down and get Teresa to preach me out of it. Told her this morning, I said, I don't know, because she's over there, blah, 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 she's preaching. She's in there, I asked her a couple of questions. I just asked her one question, and then she comes flying out of her study hall, you know, with her hair coming down the hall, and she starts preaching. Well, blah, 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 blah. And then I thought, well, is she through? And then she turned back around, and I thought, she's not through. And I told her, I said, I don't have to ask how a teacher anointing works. I said, you can't shut up, blah, 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 blah. She said, well, you asked me. I started to say, I didn't ask you to preach my whole sermon to me. I asked you about one thing, and then you got off on other stuff. That's great. She can't help herself. I'm sitting back there, and I'm thinking, wow, man, God is awesome. This woman, I mean, this gift's something else. This is my wife. She's a miracle to me. And I'm sitting back there and I'm thinking, well, God, you know, I know what your word says. It said you will take the foolish thing, people wouldn't use us, and you'll confound them that think they got it together and wise. I ain't learned how to pastor yet. I've been doing it 22 years. I put a whole sermon together and never get to it. And some people are like, well, you need to stick with you, will you, will you? And I'm like, if I stick with that, I can't get no anointing. I got to stick with the Holy Spirit. Because, I write outlines. And I study what I feel like God wants me to be ministering on. And I make little notes and all of that, you know. But then I'm like, God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your anointing on this right here, God. I thank you that I'll have what I need in the time that I need it, God. God, I'm not going to figure this out, but I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to rely on your Holy Spirit to help me when I get up there to operate with Him and flow with Him. God, and I just thank you, Lord, your word will not return void, but it'll go in my ear and it'll do what you sent it out to do in the body of Christ. That's the manner which I pray, which is in line with our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. See, the Holy Spirit leads you into the Word. Now you can forgive those that does you wrong and don't hold a grudge, because the Spirit of God will say, give. Well, I'm going up through there, and the Lord told me, He said, I want you to give that person $600. I thought, man, $600? I don't want to give that person $600. You know, and I'm like, so I go home, you know, and I don't want to do it. And I tell Teresa about it, you know, and she's, well, you got to be led. And that's not what I wanted to hear. That's not what I wanted to hear. Well, you know, I'm out the next day, and I went to the bank, started out, and there went that person. I thought, oh, man. So anyhow, I got in touch with the person, told him to come where I was at, you know, and I said, what is your most basic need? Now, how much you need? Your most basic need, rounded off all the bills. I said, not all the bills. I said, I'm not interested in your bank payments and all that. I said, your house, your water, your lights, basic. That means basic. That's what God told me, basic. Well, anyhow, He said, you know what? After it was all said and done, I said, the Lord. He said, I'll pay you back. I said, I don't want it back. I said, God told me to help you. Well, the Bible says, you know, now we live by the Spirit, but it says, if you see your brother in need and shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? If I don't consider if God wants me to help my brother, you know, I've not got the love dwelling in there like I need to. But anyways, I go on, and He said, you know what? I said, what? He said, I prayed 2 days ago. And that's about when God dealt with me. He said, I prayed 2 days ago, and I told God, God, you can give me a job, or you can send one man, you know, to help me. He said, give me a job, one job, or send a man to help me. And you know what? I was just the one He found. He answered his prayer. He answered his prayer. See, God answers your prayers when it is your will be done, God. However you want to do it, give me a job, God. Or you can send one. I don't care how you do it, God, you're going to do it. How many knows? I believe that he was inspired to pray that. I believe that I want to be inspired with my prayers. I want to lock into what God wants me to be praying and all of that. And then he'll begin to reveal. He'll begin to reveal things. See, in prophets, they don't bring a new message, but they sometimes tell forward in your life, or forward in our life, or forward, you know. We was at church one time, and this guy, his name was Roy Ralph. And I'm a year or two old in the Lord's all, and he prophesied to me. He prophesied to me. He said, I see you, and I've never seen this before. He said, and I see a tent. He said, and I see a line. He said, I see this state being drove down. And at that time, I didn't know if I wanted to stay a Christian or not, because I was having such a rough time. I was having a rough time with the enemy. I was having a rough time with my flesh. I had a lot of things that I was messed up in, and it seemed like I couldn't make no go forward and change and all of that, you know. And then he prophesied that, and I'm like, what is he talking about? Holds up the church. Yeah, but I had no idea. I'm like, Bradley's holding this church up, man. He's a pastor. Well, anyways, I go off and I'm like, oh, forget that stuff. I didn't believe in prophecy. They told me over there where I went to church that tongues and prophecy and all that done died. And I'm thinking, this dude's crazy. Well, you know, Teresa, she's all excited. Oh, prophecy. Ah, oh, put it up. Let's listen to it again and again. She still does it. Well, you know what? That was about 6 years before this church started. See, God will speak things into your life when you're going after Him and you want Him, you want to know Him, and you're set that you're going to do His will and all that. And He begins to bring things that He's placed in your life into wishing. Some of you's called and don't even know it. Called to preach, and you think your life's about, you know, just where you at is what it's about. No, 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 no. the best is yet to come. See, God's been training you warriors. Y'all been through the fire, some of you. Been through the flood, but you've come out into a wealthy place. Me and Teresa done learned how over the years to shut Satan out from around us. You can learn to shut him out. Turn him off. Don't yield. You learn that. And then you just tread on him. Tread on them serpents, praise God. Then you have good weekends. You have good work days. You have good fellowship with your grandkids. He tries to get our grandkids in a wrong spirit. And you're like, my God, these little minions, good Lord. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Just wait. You know what we're doing? You can't beat a demon off a kid. You can get your belt and beat it all you want to, and that demon still beat them some more. Come on, torture them. That's what I'm doing, torture them. You're just torturing. No, you take authority over demons. See, but if you're not discerning that there's demonic forces that's trying to get involved in whatever you're dealing with, then you ain't going to get rid of it. You can't get rid of a spirit of infirmity with a bare aspirin. You cannot deal with spiritual forces and with natural means. The weapons of our warfare are not natural. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. I take authority over demonic spirits that try to Man, I feel like I got the flu sometimes, Satan. You got the COVID. And I'll be like, I'll bind you in the name of Jesus. And it just leaves. And I'm like, ha, 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 ha. Whoo, hallelujah. No weapon formed against me will prosper. They try to tell me I got a heart disease. Liars. They're trained to say that. And then around my heart, I had stopped up arteries. How's that a disease? Right? Well, even if it is, take authority over that disease. They say you have everything that has a name. Has the Bible with the name. I'm going to discern what's good and evil. See, natural doctors do what they've been trained natural. I went to the doctor one time and I found this out. This was revelation to me. I went to the doctor and he said, what kind of symptoms you got? And I said, well, I got this and this and this. You know, I got these symptoms. I wasn't laying hold of it. I've took my flu on already. It's my flu. I think I'm getting the flu. It's coming to me. It's that time, you know. And he says, I'll be right back. I said, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go look in the book. I said, what book? He said, well, I'm not real familiar with all the symptoms, so I'm going to go look in the book. And I'm like, are you serious? Now, he was a friend of mine. I said, so you got to go look in the book to figure out what's wrong with me. You're the doctor. So he goes in there and finds out the book, comes back and gives me a shot in the booty and you know, and some give me some steroids and all of that stuff. I like them steroids. Woo! Man, you're going to be feeling bad, and you get a steroid booty shot and a Z-Pack, and I mean, time you get sneed back to Montford, you're feeling like king again. And then you're like, can I start the Z-Pack this evening, Doc? And he's like, wait till in the morning. Let that kick in. You only get you don't start the Z-Pack and get really pumped up, you know. I asked him one time, I said, hey, man. I said, can you put me on them steroids full time? Man, they work for me. And he said, nah. He said, it'll long term, it'll mess your kidneys and all. I said, oh, no, we're not taking them things. I want some steroids, man. You know, just to take them steroids. I mean, your nose can be stopped doing this. Ooh, yeah, baby, I'm breathing. Steroids work good. I could have went and sold a bunch of them steroids real quick. I mean, I'm a believer. If I believe water's good, I can sell water. I'm anointed. You're anointed, man. See, that persuasion toward the kingdom, though, we're anointed, see. We're anointed. When the anointing's there, we persuade people to discern. You know, we persuade people to believe for your healing. Don't wait on the doctors. Believe for the healing. Go to the doctor. Believe for your healing. Believe to come out of where you are. Prophesy. Prophesy what the word of the Lord says over your body. Prophesy what the word of the Lord says about your body, praise God. Long, satisfied life, praise God. He give us in his salvation. See, the Lord helps you take the word of God and discern the thoughts that's coming to you. Oh, this is bad disease here. It'll discern and say, no, glory to God. This one has the bowel. This one has the intents of the heart. See, don't cop out on that. God knows my heart. God knows our heart. you know, God knows our... They say that in a twisted manner, like, you know, I got all this going on and I'm jacked up, you know, and what, all of that. But God knows my heart. God knows my heart. I tell teaching my mama to tithe one time. She's robbing God. Teaching my mama to tithe one time. God told me, he said, go teach her how to tithe. I said, God, she goes to church. She knows. He said, go teach her how to tithe. I go to teach her how to tithe. And I mean, she jumps all the, boy, what's wrong with you? God's not telling you. I can't afford to tithe. God knows my heart. And I said, he sure does. He knows you're robbing him. He knows your heart. He knows you're not trusting him. Now I'm busting some, I'm inflating some balloons. I punched that one and that one and that one. Now they're all flat. And she's like, well, I'm not going to do it. I can't afford to do it. I said, well, that's the last one you got. I said, but you can stay broke. 3 months goes by. She finally gnawed on that. I mean, those you need to gnaw on the word that's challenging you. Chew on it a little bit, you know. It'll just, and you know, she started tithing. You know what? My mama left every one of us brothers and sisters money, and she couldn't afford nothing at the time that she started honoring God. God brought that word down in there. Then when it got down in her heart, she called Teresa. She said, send my tithe money every month. Don't even ask me. And my mom, $650 a month, left here with money. That's all she got, $650 a month. And she left here and left all of us money after all of her bills was paid, praise God. Put that Luke 19 up there, and I'll close with this, maybe. How many knows we've been given gifts and talents? You've been given faith, right? That's a gift. Faith, love, joy, these are gifts. Love, joy, faith. Now Jesus said here, he said, therefore a certain nobleman went to a far country to seek for himself a kingdom and to return, and he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now he gave them talents. He give them money, whatever this servant give. But how many knows Jesus has went into a far country? This is a parable right here. But Jesus has went into a far country. And the Bible says he give gifts unto men. And it's not just the fivefold ministry gifts. He give us faith. He give us grace. He give us courage. He give us strength. He give us abilities. He give us might. He give us dominion. And he says, occupy. The word occupy means do business. That means, you know, do business till I come back. The parable of the talents, he went off and he come back. And some of them took that money and put it and made more money for the master when he come back, the nobleman. He made talents. But one said, I knew that you was a hard man, God. And he told him, he called him a wicked servant, unfaithful. Unfruitful servant. He called him an unfruitful servant. We don't want to be unfruitful. We want to use our faith. We want to use our courage and our strength that God has given us. You know, it takes courage to love your wife as Christ so loved the church. It takes courage. It takes courage to love your enemies. It takes courage to overcome evil with good. It takes courage when the enemy's speaking bad and you feel like you know you don't fit in. And it takes courage to say, I fit in the Lord. I've been accepted by the Beloved. I don't have to be in a clique to know that I'm lying. It takes courage. It takes faith. It takes faith whenever you're believing God for your finances and the work gets lower. It takes faith to believe. It takes courage. And it takes strength to believe God when you lose both of your jobs. And we couldn't tell. We knew it, but we couldn't tell it. You didn't go around with a sad countenance. But that's using the things that God has given us, each one, that we stand strong and we do come out in victory. Travis, he's on eating off of the top of the barrel. He's been listening to Jesse Duplantis and them on, you know, preaching and all of that stuff. He's made up his mind. I'm gonna live off the top of the barrel, and he's gonna be a feather, what was that? Birds and lily, you know, Christians. I mean, he's hearing this, and I'm like, this sounds so strange coming out of my son, but I've been doing this for years. And I'm not discouraged. I'm not broke. I'm not weak. I feel good. I feel good about church. And then people are like, I don't know why everybody ain't coming to church. Get off of that. Gear up. Hallelujah. While we look not at the things that are seen. See, just because you got a big church don't mean you got God in it. But just same time, you can have a little church and get everybody discouraged and God has to back out there and wait on us too. But if we stay strong and let the Holy Spirit move, like Teresa was talking about, hooking up. When you're praying, He'll hook up with you when you're praying. That's when you just flow. You begin to flow. You don't want to quit praying, you know. When you start praising and He hooks up, boy, you just want to keep on. You get in a flow with the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to do it at work. We need to have our mind stayed on the Lord at work, praise God. Instead of on all, my mind will go on 3 trillion things in an 8-hour period. You ever noticed you be going down through there and you ain't seen a dune buggy? I used to do rail job dune buggies. I told Beth, I said, Beth, you need to start you and Travis need to start a motorcycle ministry. I said, you know, now I'm messing with her. I'm playing with her. She has to be like, I told her, I said, and you're going to be the leader. I said, because of that helmet you got. There's no way. There ain't nobody, if she rides that enough and finds out that that's Beth Weston, all she's got to do is pull out on the highway and ain't nobody that won't know that that's Beth Weston with that helmet. It's bug. I don't know what it is. It's eyes and pink and it's huge. And I'm like, good Lord, this everybody on Facebook, it's a wonder she ain't got 1 million followers. Travis puts her on. I told her, I said, you know, I said, I used to have a dune buggy. I used to build rail jobs. I said, I put me a sign on back that Jesus is Lord with a big heart. I said, and it was silver. It was real shiny silver. And we would climb hills and everybody would stay down here and watch, you know, and one of us would climb and then we'd come back down, the other would go climb. And every time I'd climb over, that sun would go flash on everybody down there off of that tag. I didn't mean for it to do that. And this first, I'd go back down there and somebody would say, what in the world is that flashing on the back of your buggy? And I'd say, oh yeah, come over here. It was a good preaching point. And they'd say, Jesus loves you. Oh. And I told her, I said, that helmet would be a good preaching point. I said, you're just different people, but you know, Beth's different. She's not weird. She's just different. I mean, to wear that, she's different. I mean, there ain't no way that I would not wear it. That's Beth. Not saying anything wrong with it. I mean, if she had her way, her car would have a wrap on it, and ain't no telling what it would look like coming around. I like her. She looks like the IRS right now, but there's no telling what she would come up with, you know. I mean, she threatened to get her hair done, you know, colored and all of that, and I'm like, ooh, ooh. Boy, you just never know what she might come in looking like, you know. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what she wants and God's okay with it, praise God, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord. But He works in you to prosper. God works. He's the one that gives you a desire to prosper. He's the one that gives you a desire to be healed. These are gifts. These are the anointing, the gift of the anointing that's placed in our life. I can't help it to be wealthy. I just have to get, I've got my mind out of the way, and I've renewed my mind to a point, praise God, to where I learned not to put my trust in the government, not to put my trust in my job, my 40-hour week, not in my wife, not in people buying garage doors, but put my trust in God and expect the blessing of the Lord to make me rich and adds no sorrow. How could I have went and bailed that brother out in his livelihood if I'd have been broke, Monty? No, sir, I could not have went. Somebody talking to me yesterday, they wanting to get their kid a little side-by-side. And, I mean, I got toys to glower over there, man. You know, I got four-wheelers. I got all kind of, I got side-by-side, four-wheeler, Clarences. I got all kind of stuff. He'd want to get one for his grandkids, you know. I thought, well, they don't ride that one. You know, it's a little, I give $3,000 for that one. It's a little pink dune buggy looking deal. and Aiden's got so much, he'll ride it once a month because he rides everything and gets back around to it, you know. And so anyhow, I brought it up to Teresa, you know, but I'm looking on the inside. And she says, well, it's whatever you want to do and blah, blah, blah. You know, she talked a little bit. I'm looking in here, and it's like God said, nope, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling. They see, that's where you gotta learn to hear from God in that stuff. My emotions wanted to move me, but then the Spirit of the Lord says, no, hallelujah, don't go that route. And you know what? I could mess God up. If that person is believing God for it, I could mess that up, really, praise God, by delivering, praise the Lord. See, but God puts it in you to prosper and be healed and have good relationships. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Father.